Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I don't know if I mention this that often, but I know I've mentioned it before, that I try to seek God for His voice for the church. Amen? And sometimes it's very easy. Sometimes it's very plain. God speaks to me, and I know very clearly this is the message for the church. I had such a hard time with that this week because, I don't know, maybe there's so many things that were going on in my personal life that, how many believe that God speaks to you as a person? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came, that He became the high priest once for all? Amen? Jesus Christ became our high priest. In the past, it was just once a year the high priest could go in and have interaction with the symbol of the presence of God. Amen? The Ark of the Covenant there. But Jesus came in and paid for sin, made the ultimate sacrifice. His blood presented His blood, which made the way for you and I to be able to be in conversation with God at any moment, at any time. And so we have this ability, and so God speaks to us, and we're in conversation with Him. And so in a position where you're in a pastor or prophet, teacher position, where you're it's a speaking gift and an office, I think it's important to be able to separate those two things. Amen? Because I've heard messages that were talking to me from the pulpit or from a position like that, and it wasn't a voice of the Spirit to the church. It was the voice of the Spirit, absolutely, but it was to the person who was speaking. Amen? And so I don't want to confuse that. If God is speaking to me, I want to receive it for me. How many have listened to a message and you're sitting there the whole time going, this is for Sally. This is for Sally. Amen. I want to hear the voice that God is speaking to the church because I am part of the church. Hallelujah. So, but then to be able to, if you are the voice, if you have the speaking gift or the office, then to be able to separate that. Oh, this is for me. This is for me. And how many believe that love is a message that we all need to hear? And so I was really struggling. Lord, are you speaking to this about me, love? But He spoke to me earlier about disciple. And I know that was a message for the church. So this whole disciple message is for the church. But then I believe He combined the two this morning for me to put this together. So Father, I just pray, Lord God, I believe with all my heart that you filled my heart. And that out of the abundance of my heart, I will speak today. I believe, Lord God, that this is a message from you for the church. And so I pray for anointed ears to hear, soft hearts, good ground, Lord, that these seeds would find their mark, hallelujah, and bear fruit in their season, because we know that as we bear good fruit, hallelujah, you are glorified, Lord God. Amen. So love is an essential ingredient to being a disciple. In order to be a disciple, we need to have love. So John 13:34, Jesus is saying, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I merely ask that we would honor Jesus this morning, and that we've talked about it in the past. What is honor? And when you honor something, you put it in a position that's recognizable, a position of honor, that everybody would know that you value that thing. You put it on the fireplace mantle or whatever it is, you put it in a position of honor. And if we don't do that for Jesus, then we are less apt to take a commandment from Him. This command I give you. If you don't honor Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you only call Him Savior, then these become suggestions or good ideas. Yeah, I'll think about that, Lord, or whatever. But if we honor Jesus as the King of Kings, yes, as the engineer of the universe, as the one who knit me in my mother's womb, that he knows. And he's saying, this, I'm telling you, love one another. And then he brings a little distinction to that. As I have loved you, love one another. And then there's going to be, if that's happening, something's going to happen in your family and in your community. If we are loving one another, people are going to look at that. They're going to say, wow, look at that. And eventually, the Holy Spirit will be able to connect the dots, and they're going to know that we are God's disciples, Jesus' disciples. Amen?
Yes.
So what is love? The dictionary says, an intense feeling of deep affection. Do you remember being in love? Do you remember your first love? Do you remember puppy love, they used to call it when I was a kid? Do they still call it that today, you think? Remember puppy love? Huh? Wasn't there a song written about it? An intense feeling of deep affection. Do you remember what it was like to be in love? Do you remember the heart thumping, the heart pounding? Do you remember your palms sweating when you wanted to ask somebody that you were in love with or had a crush on? Do you remember the feelings associated with that? How deep those feelings are. Part two of the definition, a deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone. It was love at first sight. They were both in love. And how many here have read The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman? He did a great job at bringing a distinction between love and being in love. Being in love, how many have experienced being in love? And then love. And I think that that's really important, isn't it? When you talk to the world, I was in love with you. I used to love them. And it was like yesterday. You fall in and out of love, right? But what, as Christians, when Jesus said, I want you to love one another, what is it? What is love? What does it look like? Amen. It's important. I think respect is a facet of that. It looks like something, doesn't it, when you love someone?
Caring.
Hallelujah. Another sacrifice. Good. Another part of the definition. Remember, bearing in mind, these are all secular definitions. A great interest and pleasure in something. Okay? So an intense feeling of deep affection, romantic sexual attachment to someone, and a great interest in the pleasure in someone or something. All right? Listen to this. In John's first letter, chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Yes, he is.
What is love? We ask the question, what is love? And so we have, in this definition, we have a deeper understanding, more of a revelation. I pray that God would just open up our eyes as we're looking into this topic of love. What is love? We all have studied it. We've all read about it. But how many believe you can know more about love today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's very important that we know more about love. So God is love. I can't even begin to talk about it. It's so far above what I can conceive or comprehend. It's like talking about the Trinity. How do you talk about the Trinity or the triunity of God? How can you put the triunity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three separate entities, but one? How do you put that into words? And I feel the same challenge with trying to communicate God is love. He is love. It's who he is. It's the essence of his being. It's his nature. It's his character. It's his character. It's who he is. He is love.
Hallelujah.
I think that's a better definition of than what Webster or someone in the dictionary can bring to it. Amen?
Right. Yes.
The Bible is a good place to go if you want to know about love. The importance of walking in the Spirit, we've read Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Has anybody experienced that yet? The flesh lusts against the Spirit. The natural mind is at enmity with God. There's a confrontation and a conflict there. In the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the manifestation of the flesh, in other words, when you are an outer man dominated person, it looks like something, doesn't it? There's adultery, there's fornication, there's uncleanness, there's lewdness, there's idolatry, there's sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. It looks like something, doesn't it? When we are outer man dominated, it looks like something. It's ugly, isn't it? And I don't care how good we are at attempting to hide the fact that we're an outer person dominated, outer being dominated person, it looks like something. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What a statement! If we're just going with the outer man, the natural consequences of that lead away from the kingdom of God. The path of least resistance leads away from. It might have an illusion of running parallel, but it will end up just like if I shot at the moon right now and I was a few degrees off, it might look like it's going to hit the moon, but by the time the bullet gets there, it's going to be thousands of miles away from the target. God does not want us to miss the mark. That's why Jesus was so stern about this command. Love one another. I do not want you to miss the mark. If you love one another, hallelujah, you will keep my commands. You're going to stay on track and you will end up at your destination, which is the kingdom of God. Amen? And it's also thy kingdom come. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's not us reaching heaven, but it's bringing heaven. The target of releasing the kingdom where we are is attainable if we love one another. If we don't allow the outer person to get its way. Amen? How many have let the outer person get its way? Oh, my hands first. I've let the outer person get its way. What do you do when you do that? You blew it. You said, I got off track. I'm sorry, Lord. Sorry to whoever I hurt. And in the twinkling of an eye, God miraculously puts you back on the rails to the kingdom. Amen? There may be negative consequences that you might have to work out through, you know, through the process of all that. But God uses even that for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So even when you get off track and you run over somebody's toes, he can use that if you work through the process of it. Amen? Okay. But, don't you love? Well, I'm not going to say it. But the fruit of the Spirit is the manifestation of the Spirit. It looks like something when the Spirit is dominating your life rather than the outer person, rather than your soul. It looks like something. What is the first thing? When we're studying the Bible, we begin to understand that things are in order oftentimes, in order of priority and importance. Isn't it neat that John didn't say, or Paul didn't say here, but the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Is self-control important?
Yes.
Absolutely. But Paul wasn't saying, and I believe Paul was inspired by the Spirit of God when he wrote this, he wasn't saying that self-control is the most important thing. But what did he put first? Love. And we know that God is love. And if God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans, it's to your advantage that I go away. When I go, I will send another helper, and he will be with you and in you, and he is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit from God. And we are one.
Yes.
The Spirit of God is in us. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit of God is in us.
Thank
and
you.
What is God? God is love. God is love. And God, how many believe that God wants to express himself? He's wanted. God is love. And it just as much when your outer person is in control that it looks like something, God, from the very beginning, when he was in the garden, he wanted to be seen by men. He didn't hold himself apart from, he walked with mankind. He wanted to express himself to humanity. And he's still doing that today. He wants to walk on earth, except it doesn't look like it did back when we were in the garden. It looks like something else. It looks like spirit-filled people. It looks like me taking up my cross and allowing God to get his way. It looks like love. It looks like loving one another. God walking on earth today, the body of Christ being knit and joined together. Loving one another. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. When we are spirit-dominated, love will show through. It will, because it's who God is. God is spirit, and he's in us, and he is love. So when he's getting his way in our life, it will happen. Love will shine through. Amen? What does it look like? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It looks like something. Sue said earlier, sacrifice. It looks like something. It's difficult to love. It's different than being in love. When you're in love, it's easy to do stuff. It's easy to overlook. It's easy. Now, should we be in love and love one another? I highly recommend it. I think we should be in love with one another. I do. I think that it should be that deep affection for one another. It should be an in-love experience. But when the in-love thing isn't right there, you're still loving one another, aren't you? Hallelujah. Luke 22:42 says, saying farther, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's an element of sacrifice, isn't there? To love requires the cross. Because your outer man wants to get its way, but the way to deal with the outer man is the cross. The cross is the key to dealing with the outer man. You take up the cross, and then it's thy will be done. If I don't take up my cross, it's my will be done.
Right.
Hallelujah. So the cross is the key. And once again, Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now this is key. Disciple is a learner doer. Study it out for yourself, but to put it in a nutshell, what I walked away with when I studied disciple, it is a learner doer. Many of us are learners, but in order to be a complete, true disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to have the doer part. If we're just learners, you know who you become? A Pharisee. You have all the information because you learn, but when you're not the doer part of it, then you just become the Pharisee. You have all the information, you judge, you criticize, and find fault, and you're not the doer. Super important to be the doer. Learner, doer. All right, in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. It looks like something, doesn't it? God is so good at refocusing us on what's truly important. Sometimes we start to look at speaking in tongues, we start to look at doing this and look at doing that. The devil is so good at drawing our attention away, making it religious, the right thing to do. And hallelujah, when God comes in like a flood and refocuses us, what's truly important? What is truly important? Love one another, he's saying. Love one another. Faith to move mountains, and hallelujah. And this is what it looks like. It suffers long. How many are glad of that? How many are glad that love suffers long when you want somebody to love you? How many believe that it requires long suffering for someone to love you? It requires long suffering. Thank God for His long sufferingness. Because we are not easy to love. We are difficult people. We have our issues. It's difficult to love us. It's difficult for God to love us. It's hard. We're not just flowing with it. And if it's hard that way, how much more for this way? I'm not easy to love. But I'm glad for those who have a long-suffering quality about them that they say, I'm in it for the long haul. When I'm loving you, I'm not looking at how you're treating me right now, how you're affecting me right now, because love suffers long. You might have just ran over my toes with your because you got off track, but love suffers long. Amen? So be that to others. You need it. You need people to have a long-suffering love relationship with you. Do the same for others. Love them for the long haul. Amen? Love suffers long and is kind. It looks like something. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. All these other things are going to pass away and vanish. Hallelujah. But I'm going to skip now to verse 13. But the three really super important things that Paul brings up, faith, really important. How many believe that believing in the truthfulness of God is really important?
Yes.
Hope. Anchoring into the truthfulness of God when there's a storm or when it doesn't look good. Hope is important. But love. These three are super important, but the greatest of these three is love. Hallelujah. So I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit will tie things together for you as far as being a disciple and making disciples. Because God's been working on us in becoming a disciple of Jesus, a learner-doer. And we're being sent this year. It's time to make disciples. And so the things that you're going to pass along, I'm hoping you will keep first things first. You may have a lot of information and be able to pass on about faith and pass on about hope, pass on about speaking tongues, pass on all these things. But I'm hoping we'll keep first things first. When you're making a disciple, I'm hoping that they will come away with the idea that love, to love one another as Jesus loves the Father and as Jesus has loved us, is the most important thing that you can communicate. If you only have 5 minutes with one person to make a disciple or one summer, I'm hoping that they will walk away with the idea that to love one another is the most important thing. Amen. Thank you, Father. That's right.
And we think about because we have all kinds of people. Yeah. We have all kind of feelings, all kind of mind, heart. But his thought covered that mind.
That's exactly right.
So he's not looking where you're coming from, what color you are, what language you speak. He says, I love.
Amen.
My love covered.
That's so important.
Yes.
The scripture says it's easy to do good to those who are easy to do good to. But how hard is it to love somebody?
Really hard.